Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, June 22nd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. I'm Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission is digging in on the election of Urungwe West lawmaker Keith Guza, who did not even vote in the just-ended parliamentary by-election.
The issue here is that do we go to court or do we write to ZEC to say that Kenny be disqualified? So I've engaged lawyers who are talking about it because it is the law. It's as simple as that. It's the law.
The Institute for Young Women Development will tomorrow hold a march in Bindura to call on urgent legal reform on the age of consent for sex and child marriage in Zimbabwe.
We're going to march from TMZ. Our petition is going to be in the form of a drawing that was done by young children and survivors of child marriages.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says government's jobs export program is commendable, though it clearly shows the state has failed to deliver on employment creation.
This can be another way of agreeing that we have failed as a country. We are unable to provide our own people with jobs. We have failed to manage our own affairs.
The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, which has come under heavy criticism for its handling of the Urungwe West by-elections and elections in general, has declared that ZANU-PF candidate Keith Guza was lawfully and procedurally nominated as a candidate for the Urungwe West constituency. In a press statement released today, ZEC chairperson Rita Makarau said Guza was a registered voter for the 2013 harmonized elections and was listed under Magunje constituency. ZEC noted that in March this year, he lodged an application with the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission at its head office voter registration center to transfer his registration as a voter from Magunje to Urungwe West.
On the basis of that transfer, the statement said, Guza was duly nominated as a candidate for Urungwe West in April when the nomination quote for that by-election set. Makarau, though, admits that Guza's name was not electronically updated on the voter's roll for that constituency because of, a quote, transposition of the block numbers relating to his old and new registrations. ZEC admits that Guza did not even vote. Studio 7 reached Guza, who declined to comment. But Urungwe West independent candidate Temba Muliswa tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Guza must be disqualified.
It's true, he has equally admitted that he was not on the voter's roll. He has equally admitted that he had a voter slip. And what happens in any process, there is a pre-registration before the nomination court for the candidate, and you are given a slip. But in giving you being given that slip, there are also pilot voter registration inspection programs which run in the constituency before the election. Urungwe West had two voter registration and two voter inspection. For you to then check that is your name in the voter's roll, and the onus is up to the candidate to ensure that happens. And if you're not on the voter's roll, you correct that. And it so happened that he's not on the voter's roll, especially with the background that he was in another constituency called Magunje. I was given the electronic voter's roll, which is something which is also new in terms of the Electoral Act, in terms of ensuring that after voter registration is being done, there'll be an electronic voter's roll, which I asked for. In going through it, his name was not there.
What are your options here?
The issue here is that do we go to court or do we write to ZEC to say that Kenny be disqualified? So I've engaged lawyers who are talking about it because it is the law. It's as simple as that. It's the law.
That was Temba Muliswa, who contested in Urungwe West as an independent candidate, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. National Constitutional Assembly, or NCA, President and Constitutional Law Expert Love Momaduku accused the ZEC of deliberately trying to mislead the public.
It is a very dishonest statement, and that must be condemned. They are obviously misleading the nation. They deliberately breached the law in their handling of that election and allowed Keith Guja to be a candidate when he was not supposed to be a candidate in terms of law. So the statement that they are making is choosing words which are not, which cannot be understood by ordinary people. For example, if you take the statement, the chairperson, Justice Makarau, chooses the following words, transposition of block numbers. What does that mean? It's clearly meant not to, to confuse everyone. We don't know what that means. And why does she choose that kind of language when she's supposed to be explaining to all people in the country, educated and uneducated, simple, complicated? She should have used better language. In terms of law, you cannot be a candidate unless you are on the voter's roll. So they are admitting that he was not on the voter's roll. He only had a voter's registration certificate. That voter's registration certificate is merely evidence that you have applied to be put on the voter's roll. You are only on the voter's roll when your name appears there. Now, in the past, some people with these applications were allowed to vote, but they, it will be allowing a person not on the voter's roll. It's accepted that if you just have a slip and your name is not on the voter's roll, you are not on the voter's roll. But to be a candidate, you must be on the voter's roll at the time that you are being nominated.
So in the event that Mr. Guza is disqualified, what does this mean? Is there going to be a by-election or Muliskwa is duly nominated?
Muliskwa would then be declared a candidate. There is no need for a by-election because there are only two persons that presented themselves, Guza and Muliskwa.
That was NCA President and Constitutional Law Expert Lovemore Maduku speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The South African government has launched what it calls Operation Pyramid that will see the Army, Police and Immigration Department forming a single border management agency to ensure no illegal immigrants or goods enter the country's borders. Home Affairs Minister Malusi Gigaba told journalists in Johannesburg today that this is the best way of curbing border jumping by thousands of people per week. Zimbabweans say this will be a blow to thousands of people who have survived by sneaking in and out of the country to make a living.
The Institute for Young Women Development will tomorrow hold a march in Bindura to call on urgent legal reform on the age of consent for sex and child marriage in Zimbabwe. The Institute says incidents of early child marriages are very high in Mashonaland Central Province. The march comes at a time when Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana is clamping down on remarks that 12 years should be the age of consensual sex. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks to Institute for Young Women Development Communications and Advocates Officer Lynette Dube about the intended march and related issues.
We're going to march from TM Rank and we are going to go to the town council where we are going to present a petition. Our petition is going to be in the form of a drawing that was done by young children and survivors of child marriages.
And how exactly is the law outlining this situation?
The law stipulates that only if someone is 18 are they considered to be an adult. But according to the Criminal Law and Codification Reform Act, we find that it's saying that someone who is below the age of 16 can be charged and is considered to be an adult. So we want the laws to be realigned to the Constitution, whereby if someone is aged not to be an adult, they can't drive, they can't smoke, they can't drink alcohol, then it doesn't make sense to have double standards and say when it comes to marriage, then they can be considered as adults.
Your march comes as Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana is under fire for some statement that was reportedly made last week. And although he denied making the statement to Studio 7, what's your take as tomorrow you are pushing for the change in law for child marriages?
There is a bigger picture to this, because for us as an organization, it's not only what he said as a person, it's not about him, the thing, because I think people are running away from the bigger picture, which is what are the implications of child marriages.
That was Institute for Young Women Development Communications and Advocacy Officer Lynette Duwe speaking to Studio 7 in Bindura.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, or ZCTU, says government's job placement program that aims to export Zimbabwe's labor force to other countries is commendable, though it clearly shows the state has failed to deliver on jobs. Higher Education Minister Godfrey Gandawa is quoted in the Herald newspaper as saying the government has secured agreements with countries like South Sudan, Botswana, Angola, and Namibia. He says people who graduated from tertiary colleges since 1980 that are interested in employment must register with the ministry or at any teacher's college across the country. Ntunga Milinkomo of Studio 7 reached ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo for his take on this issue.
If it is done in a transparent manner, the country stands to benefit from such programs. We have seen other countries doing the same. It's an industry which you are creating for your own people, and you can benefit from that as a country. However, this can be another way of agreeing that we have failed as a country. We are unable to provide our own people with jobs. We have failed to manage our own affairs.
For this program to succeed, what exactly should the government do?
The government should be transparent in implementing what we have just read on its paper, its mouthpiece, because if they are not transparent, in fact, we might see a situation where the remittances disappear. It's either people will not use the formal system to bring the money back home because people believe that their money is being stolen, is misused, or is overtaxed. So government has to be very key on how this thing is going to work.
That was Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Union Secretary General Japhet Moyo speaking with Studio 7's Ntunga Milinkomo from Harare. Zimbabweans in the diaspora this weekend launched a chapter of the Zimbabwe Diaspora Network North America in Maryland. ZDNNA, which aims to build a skills database of Zimbabweans in the North American diaspora, was established in 2012, and the new chapter that was launched will cover Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and West Virginia. We spoke to the chapter chairman, Reverend Isaac Mwase, who says the organization is non-partisan.
I serve on the board for the Zimbabwe Diaspora Network North America, and the board gave me a charge to lead an effort to establish a regional chapter for Zimbabwean families that live in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia and West Virginia area. And tonight we are taking an important step to say to the region, to the Zimbabwean community, there's an organization that's going to watch out for your interests in a non-partisan way and seek to advance certain priorities that have been established by the Zimbabwe Diaspora Network North America.
That was Reverend Isaac Mwase, chairman of the Zimbabwe Diaspora Network North America chapter. He spoke to Studio 7 on the sidelines of the launch of the chapter in Maryland, USA. Please stay tuned tomorrow for more details on the launch of the ZDNA chapter and its objectives.
A survey released today by the International Republican Institute reveals that a majority of Zimbabweans are committed to participating in community discussions and decision-making forums, but are struggling to participate in these forums. According to the survey, 86% of Zimbabweans are interested in participating in these forums as a means to ensure decisions made by local leaders are appropriate and serve the needs of the local community. The same percentage believe that they can participate freely in this local forum. The survey also reveals that while Zimbabweans are aware of their new constitution, most of them do not understand the content or how it applies to their daily life. More of this and related issues tomorrow here on Studio 7. Don't miss it here on Studio 7 tomorrow.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer analysis of diabetes in Zimbabwe with Tatenda Gumbo.
Police say vendors should not stage peaceful protests on Wednesday.
And warriors bring smiles to Zimbabweans.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
President Barack Obama says the United States has not overcome its history of racism.
Heavily armed Taliban militants targeted Afghanistan's parliament today in a suicide attack that included explosions and gunfire outside the building as lawmakers met inside.
A United Nations report says Israel and Palestinian militants may have committed war crimes during last year's Gaza war.
U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter said today there's neither a desire for a return to a Cold War nor for a new conflict with Russia, and that economic sanctions are having an effect in countering Russian aggression in Ukraine.
And an Indonesian court has rejected the final appeal of a French national facing execution for drug trafficking, a move that is likely to bring about another round of condemnation from the international community.
Doctors and health experts say Zimbabwe needs to invest in diabetes research in order to tackle the non-communicable disease that is affecting thousands of people in the country. They say proper research will assist stakeholders in fighting and preventing this type of disease, which is causing mayhem in healthcare services. Indications are that most people in rural areas unknowingly live with diabetes due to lack of access to health facilities. Doctors and health experts say this is a risky situation since diabetes is widely regarded in the medical field as a silent killer. According to the Zimbabwe Diabetic Association, there are more than 605,000 cases of diabetes in the country. The Minister of Health says were 10,000 new cases last year. For perspective, Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo speaks to Dr. John C. Mangwiro, president of the Zimbabwe Diabetic Association and specialist diabetologist. Dr. Mangwiro explains the types of diabetes found in Zimbabwe.
Diabetes is a disease that normally presents with people drinking lots of water and going to the toilet frequently, passing large amounts of urine, especially at night, what we call nocturia. These people can also present with very dry mouth because of thirst, because of the diabetes. If it's young people who are below 30, they can present with massive loss of weight, and yet they eat voraciously, and they still do not gain weight. This can also happen to other elderly people. This would be a different type of diabetes called LADA. The one I described at first for the young ones who are below 30 is called type 1 diabetes. And then there is the type 2, where people present with obesity. They are much overweight than is expected.
Now, doctor, yes. When we look at some of the challenges that are happening in Zimbabwe, in particular to treatment, what is going on the ground?
With diabetes, it's a bit difficult. The association is finding it difficult really to really give everyone medicine, or even at times these drugs are quite expensive for diabetics. and most people may find it very difficult to access the medicine. We are actually having problems with some of the insulins and even some of the drugs. They are quite expensive for the diabetics.
How is the government assisting, especially the health ministry?
The government is encouraging us because, you know, type 2 diabetes is the major problem that we have in Zimbabwe. Diabetes type 2 is our biggest challenge in Zimbabwe. So awareness is what the government, the non-communicable disease department, is encouraging, because about 95% of the diabetics are type 2, which is easily reversible. It's more to do with our good nutrition. We are always on TV and radio trying to make people aware that diabetes can actually be reduced, especially type 2, which I said is almost 95%, by eating properly. Nutritionally, Zimbabweans are eating wrong. They are sticking to these the so-called Western diets.
Doctor, when you speak about these diets and nutrition and eating well, can you give us some examples of what people can do day to day?
Zimbabweans tend to eat most of their largest meals at night when they are less or least active. People must eat their largest meals in the morning. And if one were to take a plate, a Zimbabwean plate, and divide it into half, half the plate must be vegetables or fresh fruits, which actually fill up the tummy. A quarter of their plate, maybe two pieces of meat, and carbohydrates, maybe a fifth size of their carbohydrates. And mostly we encourage them to eat traditional foods, mainly rapoko, munga, mafunde, and even maize. And we encourage people to stick to unrefined foods as compared to refined foods. Refined foods can be eaten once in a while, but we should remember that refined foods get absorbed and they have high glycemic index, which is not very good for us. So the glycemic index, the higher it is, the more dangerous the food is. Things like bread, cornflakes of yours, those things are got high glycemic index.
And doctor, looking at those out there who might be thinking that they themselves or maybe their loved ones or family members are suffering from diabetes, what should they exactly do? How can they get the assistance and help?
Most places now test for diabetes. By if people go to clinics, they can have their sugars checked just by a small pinprick. It takes less than a minute to have that test done. They can even have their urine tested for sugar. They can go to any local clinic nearby them, or to any doctor, or even come to the Zimbabwe Diabetic Association.
That was Dr. John C. Mangwiro, president of the Zimbabwe Diabetic Association and a specialist diabetologist, speaking to Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo from Harare.
Harare Police today advised the National Vendors Union Zimbabwe and other stakeholders against a march planned for this Wednesday, citing intelligence that the march has been hijacked by politicians. The organization's director, Samuel Wadzai, says security officials told him that they won't get any police escort if they want to stage the protest, which is aimed at handing a petition to Parliament on their pending removal from the streets this Friday.
The police called me over the weekend and indicated that they wanted to have a meeting with me, a preparatory meeting with me, vis-a-vis the march that we're going to have on Wednesday. I thought the meeting was basically meant to see the logistics of it, how we can ensure that there is peace and order during the march. But I was then shocked to learn that actually the police had called the meeting to reverse their earlier decision to allow us to have a march. Basically, they cited three reasons. The first one was that they believe that the march has been hijacked by politicians. But to be honest with you, my brother, they did not elaborate on this point. The second point was that they feel that the numbers of vendors who are going to turn up is going to be so much that they cannot be able to handle and ensure law and order.
So are you going to comply with this police directive?
No, we are going ahead with the march, because we feel that the police cannot stop us. They have not written anything. There is nothing written to indicate that they have stopped. I actually requested for a written notification, but I could not get one.
That was National Vendors Union Zimbabwe Director Samuel Wadzai in Harare. Studio 7 failed to reach the police for a comment. Meanwhile, more than five vendors and informal traders organizations today met with Bulawayo Mayor Martin Moyo to discuss the pending deadline. Zimbabwe Informal Sectors Organization Director Promise Nkwananzi says the organizations told the mayor that the notice given by the government was too short.
Basically, what the vendors were saying is that there must be adequate notice for them to be shifted to the various places where the government is designated. And secondly, that there must be enough of those places, and those places must be located at strategic points in terms of availability of markets. And lastly, the vendors were saying that the $23 the Bulawayo City Council came up with as a charge per day was ridiculous. There is no vendor on earth who can afford $23 a day. Actually, the vendors are earning less than $1 a day.
What did the mayor say about this?
The mayor said that it was not his mandate. The directive had come from the Minister of Local Government. And as association, as I speak, we are finalizing our letter to the minister, Minister Chwembe, which we will submit tomorrow, advising him to abandon this plan and to create a dialogue framework where we can have a consultative process to devise an amicable, sustainable solution to the problem of the proliferation of vendors in the city.
That was Zimbabwe Informal Sectors Organization Director Promise Nkwananzi speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
The Zimbabwe national team, the Warriors, are in the driving seat of their 2016 African Nations Championship campaign. Reporter Michael Kariati has more.
A 2-0 victory over the Comoros at Zufaro Stadium yesterday gave the Warriors a head start in their quest for a third qualification in the African Nations Championship to be held in Rwanda. The Warriors did not put up a fine performance, but still came out victors to brighten their chances of qualifying for the Continental Football Festival. The Warriors left it too late to secure a comfortable victory through Marshall Mudewe, who scored in the 88th minute for that vital 2-0 victory. Coach Kalisto Pasua thinks the two goals scored will be very crucial in the return leg in the Comoros in 2 weeks' time.
It's very, very crucial to us, considering the fact that they didn't score here. Yeah, we'll try and go out there and maintain that lead so that maybe we can come out with a result.
The former Dynamo's coach, who also handles the Zimbabwe under-23 side, thinks complacency got the better of his side as they could have won by a wider margin.
Complacence was the name of the game here. If you can see, maybe the approach, it wasn't good enough. We were playing in our middle, in our own half, instead of going to them.
However, football analyst Slav Moma Tambanato thinks Zimbabwe played well, but missed a lot of chances.
For me, the game was quite good because our team was having possession. It's only that we were unlucky, but they created very many chances.
Matambanazo says the Warriors are likely to win the return leg with an avalanche of goals if they fully utilize all their chances.
We can beat Comoros even 5 goals.
The Warriors are bidding to qualify for the African Nations Championship for the third time in a row. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners and experts about latest developments in the Urunga West constituents, where the winner of the recently held by-elections, ZANU-PF's Keith Guza, is said to be not on the voters' roll.
Now, a recap of today's top stories.
The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission is digging in on the election of Urunga West lawmaker Keith Guza, who did not even vote in the just-ended parliamentary by-election.
The Institute for Young Women Development will tomorrow hold a march in Bindura to call on urgent legal reform on the age of consent for sex and child marriage in Zimbabwe.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says government's jobs export program is commendable, though it clearly shows the state has failed to deliver on employment creation.
That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.